This is the second in a two-episode arc of A Life's Story. If you haven't heard the first episode on Beverly Schottenstein, you should listen to that episode first. Beverly Schottenstein, 94, the widow of the retailing pioneer Alvin Schottenstein, is regretting her decision to allow her grandsons, Evan and Avi, to manage her considerable fortune.
He managed my money for himself.
Beverly confides in her caregiver, Dawn Henry, that Evan and Avi's father, Bobby, her son, who lives just one floor below her in Florida, has raided her safe deposit box, taking all her jewelry, worth millions, including her engagement ring from Alvin, her beloved deceased husband. An apartment Beverly owned in New York City has fraudulently had its ownership transferred to her grandson, Evan.
I found out that they forged my name.
And now, Dawn observes Evan and Avi entering Beverly's Florida condo with a shredder, shredding Beverly's records and financial statements, statements related to the accounts they are managing. Caregiver Dawn decides to ring the alarm bell. I'm Leslie Gold. This is A Life's Story.
I don't know if the shredder was upstairs or downstairs. They came through the back door and they came in the kitchen with everything in her office where she kept her statements, and they start to tread them in the kitchen. And I said, you know, these are her personal papers. She have kids, Chucky, you know, they could come in and want to look at them, the statements. So I did not know Kathy. I don't even know if I saw her. Beverly and I was on the patio and the phone rang, it was Kathy. And after she finished talking, I said, Beverly, let me say hi to your granddaughter. So I came in and I spoke to Kathy. I said, you know, I think something is not going right in this apartment. And I told her exactly what happened.
In the fall of 2018, my grandmother's caretaker, Dawn, called me in New Jersey. And I had never even spoken to her on the phone before. I'd only seen her once or twice when I went to visit my grandmother. So she called and she said that Evan had just come into my grandma's apartment with a shredder and was shredding statements. And she thought this was fishy. And I said that I thought it was strange also. But to be honest, I really didn't want to get involved.
When you got that call from Dawn saying that Evan, I think it was in Nanny's apartment and shredding statements, what did your gut say to you at first? Did you think, oh, Dawn must be mistaken? Or did you think, oh, I always knew they were creeps?
Pretty much the latter. I had no reason whatsoever to not believe Dawn. I had no relationship with Dawn, and she seemed just like a truthful, honest woman. She had no reason to want to throw them under the bus in any way. And I could tell just in her voice, there was genuine concern that something was very much amiss. And she was really crying out for help. And I recognized that's what she was doing. I thought, you know, what is he doing? I never thought everything was on the up and up, but I didn't think that he was this criminal committing serious elder abuse and might go to jail. I didn't think that. And so when she told me, I heard it. I told my father about it.
He advised Nanny not to turn the money management over to the grandsons. He had been doing it.
Yeah,
right.
He did. His instincts tend to be pretty solid. He's a logical person, but he also doesn't want to fight anymore. I think the fight was taken out of him during the first lawsuit when he got divorced what was it? 1985 is when that lawsuit started, and it took 5 years to settle. It didn't settle till 1990.
Oh, wow.
So that like shaped my early childhood, and that shaped sort of the beginning of his real adult life. So he wanted to stay out of it.
And then after a while, we sat around the table and she said to me, you know, I have something to say to you. I guess by now she feels that she can talk to me. And she said, you know, my grandson told me that because I'm living in Florida, I need a new will. And then he brought this lawyer upstairs and he was doing all the talking. I said, did he make a will? He said, no, I think they came to talk, but then I realized it was a will he made. This is Avi. And I said, but Beverly, if he brought a lawyer upstairs, he's not supposed to be in the conversation with you. And moreover, when it happened now and I see this will, I said, there's no way you knew all these languages that was put in this will. And she said, yeah, and she told me about the jewelry. She told me about everything. So she was very concerned when I just start working with her.
Yeah, you heard right. Grandson Avi had a will drafted and convinced Nanny that she needed to sign this new will because she had moved to Florida. Wait till you hear what was in the will. We'll get to that in a bit. First, there were other suspicious things going on.
You know, the fraud department used to call you all the time for her credit card.
Hmm.
And I remember this morning I came in and Beverly, this was 7 o'clock I started and I never late. And she said to me, you know, 6:30 the phone rang and it's the fraud department. I said, okay, if anything, they'll call back. They did call back and they wanted to know if Beverly know about this wire transfer to Israel. Beverly said, no, nothing about that. Evan was downstairs on the fourth floor. And he came up here in her bedroom, screaming and shouting at her, you don't talk to anyone from the bank. Tell them you have a financial advisor. Never do that. And then he came one morning and he said to Beverly, I want you to write a check for Avi baby for $10,000. Beverly said, what? I'm not writing any check for no $10,000. Beverly wrote me a check, my paycheck. And it happened that my husband got an email from the bank. The check was bounced.
You must have thought that was crazy.
Yeah, Beverly and I went to the bank and Beverly wanted to know why the check was bounced. And they told Beverly that there was a lot of activity going on in her account because it was tied to the credit card.
Oh.
Yeah. And the bank, Beverly said to the bank, can I have my statement? Because my grandson said, I'm too old. JP Morgan does not give old people statement anymore.
Oh my God.
Yes. So we got a whole year of statement.
I said, is it possible to see past papers? And they said, of course it is. You can look at any paper that you have. And I looked at the papers and I said, this is crazy. I never did anything like this.
Right. So they were just living and charging it to Beverly's credit card.
Absolutely.
We saw Amazon. Apparently they were taking stuff from it and all the other things they were doing to her.
Wow.
And that's how she really find out. The check, we went in to find out what was the matter with the check. Why, you know, my husband said it was bounced.
Wow. Right. Yeah.
They were traveling to Israel almost every month, first class, staying in the fanciest hotels, living large. So they printed out some credit card statements. And my grandmother hardly used a credit card because actually she only really used cash. And that was the beginning because she got these pages and pages of credit card statements of charges she'd never made. See, my cousin Evan had her on all electronic statements and all electronic banking, even though my grandmother does not have a computer in her condo. But my cousin Evan had her on all electronic statements. So my grandmother hadn't seen statements in years. She wasn't seeing any credit card bills. She wasn't seeing anything because Evan was controlling everything and he was doing it all electronically. When things had to be paid, he'd pay it through wires. And then it turned out that he had created a fictitious email account with my grandmother's name. So he created a Bev Schottenstein email account that she didn't know anything about. And so whenever she would get these electronic statements, supposedly JP Morgan thought she was getting them because it was going to her email. Meanwhile, my grandmother never had an email.
You don't think of anyone your own stealing from you. It's absolutely, there was no way that I would ever think they would steal.
We went, as we normally do every Christmas, we went the Christmas of 2018, so right before New Year's of 2019, we went to visit my grandmother, and that's when it started getting worse, because my cousin Alexis was also there, and a package came saying that my grandma had just committed $5 million to this illiquid equity fund that we never had heard of. And she was supposed to have it there for 5 years. And my grandma's in her 90s. So it seems strange. And so then my cousin Alexis got involved. And that's when we all had to get involved, because we just started uncovering crime after crime after crime. When we were there over the Christmas time, that's when my cousin Alexis told me about the jewelry. I didn't even know about the jewelry. So then it started seeming like, are they criminals? Like, what is happening here? I mean, the shredding was one thing, but now they stole all their jewelry. And then Alexis saw the $5 million Coatue Equity Fund. My grandma had no idea what it is. She has no financial sophistication whatsoever. And so then I really thought, this might be really serious. And then Dawn started saying that, well, you know, she also says that they made her change her will. And it just started seeming like there were too many things to overlook. And there really was no choice but to get involved.
With Kathy's help, experts were brought in to look at the management of Beverly's account. Their conclusion was, she was being put into investments that were inappropriate for her age and risk profile. Her account was getting churned to produce excessive fees and commissions. Moreover, in the 14 years that Evan and Avi had managed the account, it seems the only ones that got enriched were Evan and Avi. Beverly's account balance barely moved. I did a little back of the envelope calculations, and if Beverly had been invested simply in the S&P 500, with no money management and no one picking stocks to buy and sell, just a simple fund reflecting the overall market, over this period of 14 years, her money would have tripled in value. The experts advised Beverly to write a letter to JP Morgan instructing that all activity on her account cease until further notice.
She wrote a handwritten note and just said, I'm going to move my account away. And actually what happened was that's what set off a tsunami. She sent a note and she went to the local bank with Dawn and they scanned it for her and emailed it to my cousins at JP Morgan. And they were vacationing one floor below with their parents and they came up and frankly, that's when all hell broke loose. Mm-hmm. And they were screaming. And they jump the gun. They go, you're going to send our boys to jail. And we weren't talking about anything wrong. All she said was just stop making trades on my account. I will let you know what I want to do. Yours truly, Beverly. I have it on my website.
I saw
it. Right. And that little two sentence note freaked them out so much that they started screaming and saying, you're going to send us to jail. At one point, actually, my Uncle Bobby told my grandma, if you move the account away from Evan, he's going to commit suicide. And these are Orthodox Jews, and suicide is a grave offense in Judaism, and that they would even do it. It was a threat. But she got really scared because she doesn't want her grandson to kill himself. There were things, he'll never get married. That's always been, you know, she was always real interested if he was going on dates. If you take the account away, he's never going to get married. He's going to kill himself. It got that extreme immediately.
The situation went from DEFCON 1 to DEFCON 10. Bobby, Evan, and Avi attempted to find every point of pressure to put on Beverly to stop her from taking control of her own money.
One day after my grandmother decided to move her funds away from Evan and JP Morgan, one day afterwards, that's when Bobby came in all upset and demanded that she write a retraction letter saying that she didn't mean it and she had no problems and she wanted to keep her money at JP Morgan. So he got that letter, but he hurt my grandmother in the process.
Well, Bobby keep coming upstairs and drag her downstairs to the fourth floor where he lives. She would come back, you know, like mad and shaking stamping on the walker and said, I'm not going to sign it. And then Bobby said, okay, okay, come and write a new one that you want to sign. And then he shoved her, hurt her shoulder for a whole year. She was in pain. She could not lift her shoulder. And I had to take her to the doctor. Of course, I told the doctor what happened. And she recommended that she get in an x-ray on it. And then even now, once in a while, it hacked up on her.
Beverly told me at one point, Evan offered Beverly $1 million if she would rescind this letter and keep the account with him at J.P. Morgan. I think it's a good moment to recap. Thus far, at the hands of son Bobby and grandsons Evan and Avi, Beverly has had her jewelry stolen out from under her, credit card fraud, wire fraud, forgery, illegal property transfers, mismanagement of her money, excessive turnover of her account. From the expert's report, quote, it appears that Ms. Schottenstein's broker sold her these risky, illiquid products without regard for her financial well-being to generate extraordinary income for him and his employer, close quote. It's one thing to be taken for a fool. It's another thing entirely when your family is doing it.
She didn't want to make waves or do anything, and J.P. Morgan then froze her out of her own account so she couldn't get any of the money out of her own account because my cousin Evan and Avi told their boss at JP Morgan that she had dementia and was under the influence of family members who were trying to exploit her. Family members, not themselves, other family members, aka me, my cousin Alexis, my dad, whoever, and they needed to investigate. So what did JP Morgan do? They froze her out of her account. She could not move any money. She could not access any money for quite some time, and they wanted to interview her. And they said that they were going to investigate me and they were going to investigate Alexis. Then my grandmother started getting really scared, and she called JP Morgan up and demanded to speak to Jamie Dimon, which sounds funny because he's the CEO, but she's like, well, he's the top of the chain, so I'm going there. And they put her through to this executive line, and she was crying. I wasn't there. My cousin Alexis was there, and she said it was pretty shocking to see. She's crying on the phone and saying, there's something really wrong. I think my grandsons are stealing my money. I need access to my money.
Put yourself in Beverly's shoes at this moment in time. You're 94. You're a bit physically compromised. You use a walker, and you have a caregiver. You are not a sophisticated investor. You think your grandkids are stealing your money through your account. You don't have online access, and you can't see what's going on with your own account. You call the brokerage house. No one returns your call. And then your account gets frozen, and you're denied access to your own money. Who wouldn't be scared and enraged?
Within a few weeks after that message, JP Morgan did unfreeze her account and she was able to move it. When my grandmother decided that she needed to take her money to another brokerage house, she hired a new estate lawyer who wanted to see what was going on. So at that time, that estate lawyer had to contact the old estate lawyer. And what had happened, and most of the family did not realize this, was Evan's family had, soon after my grandmother moved to Florida, had brought in their own estate lawyer and had her change her entire will. And they had her giving all of her properties, two properties in New York and even the residence she lives in now in Florida, to them.
I said, Chuck, I want you to look at this will. He said, what do you mean? I made the will a long time. I know what the will. I said, no, I said it was changed. Well, he looked at the will and I thought it was going to kill me. So what is this? He said, I said, well, they said that I wasn't in Florida. I was in Columbus and I should have a Florida will. So they.
Oh, that's how they got you to sign it. Oh, I see.
And that's when I heard about the will, that they get everything. I almost flipped.
Imagine that. It wasn't enough that grandsons Evan and Avi were ripping off grandma while she was alive. They wanted to arrange it so they could continue to siphon her money to them after she died.
Well, I knew nothing about that.
before what was it, just an even will with my grandmother's four children getting equal stakes, became a will where just Evan's family received all of her properties. And then there were all these other clauses put into the will. If they, those particular brothers, were to have any kids, they were to be supported by my grandmother even after she died. Their college was supposed to be paid for. Any books that they had in college needed to be paid for, all from my grandma's trust, just to them. So none of us knew this. My grandmother didn't know it. And actually, at one point, she even called the old estate lawyer and said, I need a copy of this will. And he said to her, oh, I thought you were in a home. And she was confused. And she goes, I'm in my home. And he goes, no, I thought you were in an assisted living home. So we don't know what had really gone on, but he was under the impression through Evan's side of the family that my grandmother was completely incapacitated. And he was working with them to make this will.
Beverly moved her money out of J.P. Morgan, and then she fought back. Hi, it's Leslie. I hope you are enjoying this episode of A Life's Story so far. We can do this for you. We'll produce a personal audio documentary for a beloved family member. We will capture their life story and present it in a beautiful piece of audio storytelling that you and your family will treasure for years to come. Details are at the very end of this episode. She decided to try and right this wrong by bringing Evan, Avi, and J.P. Morgan to account. 94-year-old Beverly, a nice woman, who generally shied away from confrontation most of her life, went to war with her grandsons and the biggest bank in the country. With the help of Kathy and her lawyers, and with Dawn Henry by her side, Beverly brought the bank and her grandsons in front of FINRA. FINRA is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the organization authorized by Congress to protect investors by making sure the brokerage industry operates fairly and honestly. The case went on for months. Beverly herself was cross-examined for 11 hours. Evan and Avi denied all the charges and put up a formidable defense. Published reports of the case report that Evan and Avi claimed Beverly requested over 500 trades, totaling $400 million in transactions. In the proceedings, Beverly said she had requested none of them, including requests for wire transfers. It also revealed that the requests came from a fake email account, one that was set up in Beverly's name, except Beverly doesn't have a computer and she doesn't use email. The three-person panel on FINRA found in favor of Beverly and found Evan Schottenstein and Avi Schottenstein and J.P. Morgan liable for abusing their fiduciary duty and making fraudulent misrepresentations and elder abuse. J.P. Morgan was ordered to pay Beverly $9 million. Evan was ordered to pay Beverly $9 million more. And Avi was ordered to pay $600,000, about $19 million in total.
I mean, the crimes got so egregious. At some point in the trial, they literally had emails going back and forth as though my grandmother were emailing Evan and saying, oh, can you please make this trade or send this wire? And my grandma says approved. And then Evan will write back, thank you. So literally Evan's writing back and forth to himself as though he's my grandmother. And then they had an IT expert say that all of this originated right there at J.P. Morgan's office in New York.
Evan and Avi had been fired from their jobs at J.P. Morgan. And shortly after the case concluded, Evan was barred from working in the securities field indefinitely.
They have been found liable by FINRA on every single count that was charged against them, every single accusation, every single one. There's elder abuse was the biggest, which is a criminal offense. You can spend years in jail for this. Okay, so they were found liable for elder abuse. JP Morgan was also found liable for elder abuse. My cousins and JP Morgan were found liable for financial fraud, misrepresentations, omissions, you name it. There was nothing they were found not liable for.
Beverly fought back and won. It strikes me, Beverly, that it takes an awful lot of guts to take on a family fight like this, never mind that you did it at 94 years old.
Listen, it hurts, but it has to be done. And thank God I can still do it.
I cannot find anything in, from what I could tell, in her history where there's fight in her. So it's even more remarkable that she was willing to take on this fight at her age.
She was pushed into it.
Well, you would think that would be the end of it. You would think Evan, Avi, and their father, Bobby, would experience, I don't know, some degree of shame from the ruling. On every charge, they were found guilty or liable. But instead, Beverly says they began harassing her and telling her neighbors at her condo in Florida, where they also reside, that she has dementia, that she's confused and she doesn't know what she's doing. Now, FINRA didn't find that after 11 hours of cross-examining Beverly, but her family members are spreading this tale about Beverly where Beverly lives. Now, imagine for a second you live in a condo building and everywhere you go, the elevator, the lobby, the pool area, the garage, people have been told that you are not in your right mind. That's Beverly's reality these days.
I tell you, I hear so many bad things downstairs. It hurts to think that they're talking about me, people that I was so close to. My son and his wife and children. I was so good. Kathy can tell you that. I mean, they followed me to here. I don't want them here. Let them stay where they belong. They told everyone, why isn't she dead yet? Did you ever hear grandchildren say, gee, how come she didn't die yet? Even now they say, how come she didn't die in her sleep?
And they are trying to get her to sign a gag order.
My man that I've been working with, they told him, I have to sign this release that they can say anything they want about me, but I can't say anything nice. I have to be wonderful to them, but they can talk about me. And meanwhile, they've been the one that's been saying bad things about me.
You don't owe them a signature on anything.
You tell them.
He still goes on. They tell people in her building that she has dementia, that she has no idea what's going on. And even last night, some neighbor came to her door, knocked on her door at 8 p.m. at night and said, oh, your other family's lying to you. Let me be the mediator so that you can get back in with this side of the family. It's Yiddish word, but like the chutzpah of this person to try to insert herself. She doesn't know anything about family. She's friends with them. The fact that my grandmother even has to have someone had the audacity to knock on her door and do this to be disgusted.
You know what happened? He kept trying to come up all the time, banging on the doors. So we had to call. We had to write a letter to them that if they continue to keep banging on my doors, we're calling the police.
It's the only thing I can think of for them being there right now. They came immediately after the verdict is that they want her to be uncomfortable. They want her to see that they have been fazed by what's happened. It's almost as if they're rubbing it in. And it's just what she's had to deal with is ridiculous. And also you have to realize Evan's father, my uncle Bobby, who's one of my grandmother's sons, my grandmother was extremely close to him. So I think on some level, my grandmother feels extremely betrayed by the fact that Bobby, her own son, sided with his sons, and he is now no longer a part of her life, and he was a big part of her life. So, this is It can't get closer to home than this. My other cousins all grew up out of town. I was the only one in Columbus. Gary's side lives in Cincinnati. Bobby's side grew up in Cleveland. And my cousin Alexis and Randy were in New York. So I was the grandchild that was in Columbus with her. So I had a tremendous amount of time with her. When she moved to Florida, that's when really she became very isolated with Bobby's side of the family, because shortly after, Bobby got that apartment one floor below her, and it was really Bobby's family and Bobby's kids that she was around all the time. And when we would go to visit, which would be once or twice a year, they were even usually there then. I mean, I would come in and Bobby'd be sitting on the couch. So I wasn't even used to that dynamic, but that's what she got used to. What I started learning later when I was working on my book is that's actually very common in an elder abuse situation. The abusers tend to isolate the victim and make them feel that they're reliant on that part of the family, which one makes it harder for the victim to reach out and say something's wrong or even see it necessarily. And two, it makes it a lot easier if they do happen to say something's wrong to say, well, this is what she wanted. You didn't realize, but she actually became closer to us and she wanted us to have more and she loves us more. And that's why she did this, which is what they started to say when she took the account away. I had this terrible confrontation from my cousin Avi at the pool when I was visiting my grandmother. And at the pool when my grandmother happened to be watching from above on the balcony. This is written up in the Bloomberg article a little bit. He says, why are you not letting Nanny see us? I said, I have nothing to do with Nanny not seeing you. She doesn't want to see you. And then I said, well, look, she's right up there. She's one floor below. If you want to see her, just call up to her. And so then he realized he was taken aback and he starts saying, Nanny, why are you doing this? Why are you letting lawyers rule your life? And I started saying, well, you know, she's mad, Avi. She doesn't want to see you. You changed her will. You tried to take her apartment. She's angry. And he actually said to me, she wanted us to do all those things. She wanted us to have all her jewelry because she loved us more. We're the ones who've done everything for her. And she heard all this. This was before she took legal recourse. But you know, when you hear things like that, it gets to a point where you just want to stand up for yourself because it's so ridiculous. But I thought, oh, this is so strange and unique to my cousins and to our situation. But actually, in an elder abuse scenario, those kinds of comments are common, believe it or not, because it makes it easier to take advantage.
Back to this. So I don't see anything in your nanny's history that would tell me she's a fighter. Was there one determining factor for her to decide, she decided, for her to decide to bring action against her grandsons? Was there a straw?
Was there a straw? No, I don't think there was one particular thing. It was building for a long time, and they refused. I've always said from the beginning, if there had been some acknowledgement, some apology, if Evan had come over and Avi had come over and said, Nanny, we didn't really know what we were doing. I don't believe this, but if they said, we didn't really know what we were doing, we felt a lot of pressure, you know, we were getting from every angle and we're sorry. We didn't mean to do certain bad things, but maybe we accidentally did. She would have accepted that and the family would have accepted that. I think what the problem is that they refused to acknowledge they did anything wrong and then took this nuclear stance in which they just kept blaming everyone else. Mm. Kathy's involved. Alexis is involved. That's my father, did this. She has dementia. Her lawyers are using her. Her lawyers are lying to her. Everybody's lying to her. Not them, but everybody else is lying to her. And it just got to be so degrading to be lied to like that in such an obvious way and to blame everyone else that I really think that at the end it was for the sake of her own pride and dignity.
Yeah. You know, telling her she doesn't know what she's doing and telling others she has dementia or telling her she has dementia.
Yes.
Right. If you're in your 90s, it's got to be one of your biggest fears.
I mean, my grandmother doesn't. Is she sophisticated when it comes to any finances? No, not at all. But I mean, this is, it's just a blatant lie and they're telling it to everybody. And it's disgusting. She probably won't tell you this, but my grandmother's been getting fan mail for months. I mean, she's been an inspiration for people all over the world. She's gotten a letter from a woman in Ireland who used to be a housekeeper who said she witnessed a lot of elder abuse, but never said anything. I mean, this is she's gotten a call from a man in his 90s who lives in California that wanted to talk to her about his roots. And he even said that he'd like to come to Florida and visit her once COVID is over. I mean, she's not coming forward to just feel like talking. She's coming forward to help other people.
Since you and I started talking, I see that Evan was barred. I don't know if it's permanent, but you know, barred.
It is indefinitely. Yeah.
Okay. And Avi was always on his coattails anyway, right?
Yes,
he was,
that's
kind
right.
Kind of his assistant. Mm-hmm. And I also see that they're attempting to appeal the decision on the grounds that it was on Zoom. They also said that they have some sort of a long video with Nanny saying she authorized all the transactions at question in the trial, and that video was not admitted in the trial. Can you tell me anything about that?
They have taken numerous secret videos on their cell phone because, again, they're sharing living quarters. So if they see her in the elevator or something, they'll start videotaping her. And at certain points, Bobby or my cousin Avi have said, "You told us to do all those things." And she, again, is not a confrontational person. I've never seen the videos, but I wouldn't be surprised if she's like, "We'll figure it out," you know, something just to like get them away. It's so uncomfortable and awkward. So at trial, they tried to introduce one video in particular, and this was sort of crazy. They knocked on her back door. It happened to be when Dawn was out running errands, so she was alone. And my grandmother said that they said, "Isaac is dead." That's their older brother, so her grandson. And so she got really scared and upset, and she started crying and opened the door and said, "What do you mean he's dead?" Turned out he wasn't dead. And they gained access and they ended up staying and talking to her. This is my cousin Avi for, I want to say, 20 minutes to a half an hour right there in the back stairwell. And Avi's wife at the time was in the hallway videotaping the entire interaction. And at this time, I think Avi started saying, "You're ruining my life. My marriage could end. You have to stop this. You don't need these lawyers. They're using you," things like that. And I don't know how she responded, but whatever is in this video, they wanted to introduce in court. That being said, in Florida, you are not allowed to secretly videotape someone without their knowledge or consent. So it was not permitted. And it will never be permitted because this was done in the state of Florida and that is simply not allowed. It's illegal. You know, a bunch of things, very short-sighted because now they're like cut out of my grandmother's will when all he had to do, if he had just made normal investments, he'd have a lot more money. Everyone would have a lot more money. It was so stupid. So while he's making all these crazy deals and she's losing millions of dollars, he's making a couple million in commissions, but if he just put her in normal stocks and let her money grow, he would have had a big chunk of that inheritance.
That begs the question, why? Why did these boys somehow feel justified doing what they did?
Bobby really wanted to stay in the business. And so he sort of, in my opinion, Bobby inculcated this sort of family narrative that it's my dad's fault that they're not part of the business, which is ridiculous. The whole family was, they were pushed out of the business. And they were, I mean, because I've actually done my own deep dive into this. But these brothers, to understand sort of why did they go to this length, is they really felt that they were entitled to be more and to have more than they grew up with, even though they had a lot. And it created this sort of greedy mentality, in my opinion. And
Beverly's husband, Alvin, your grandpa, was Jerome's brother.
Correct.
And Jerome's son, Jay, is running the empire now.
Yes,
right. Beverly would be his aunt, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I know in general, even through all the various lawsuits, the Schottenstein family is not that public about speaking on these matters, but has he had any comment publicly or privately about this feud in this arm of the family tree?
Well, he got very nervous when he found out I was writing a book, and he had his attorney send me a letter. And I'll leave it at that.
Oh my God. Well, you're allowed to tell your own story.
Yes, and my attorney responded with that. And right. That seems to have ended it.
I asked about Kathy's book.
It's called Twisted, although that is the working title. It could be changed, but Twisted, Conflict, Madness, and the Redemptive Power of a Granddaughter's Love is the title for now. And I think it's fitting. And actually, I came up with Twisted because my grandmother's caretaker, Dawn, used to say, they twisted her head, they twisted her head. She would always say that. So actually, that's where Twisted came from. But I've been working on it. I've been blogging and promoting the website. Because the truth is, it never really was about the money. It's about really her reclaiming her dignity and being abused. And it was about elder abuse. And so bad elder abuse from your own grandkids. Occasionally, some people will say something to me like, I didn't know your grandmother had that much money. And it bothers me because it's like, well, that's not relevant to the story at all. But, you know, that's what they picked up on. What I like and what makes me feel good is people are respecting the courage and the bravery it took for her to stand up for herself. And that is, I think, the central crux to the story.
I asked Kathy, Dawn, and Beverly to give me their final reflection on the intense and difficult chapter they went through together. And to a person, the sentiment was gratitude.
And you have to remember that really it is a family. And sometimes when I step outside of it a little bit, or maybe I go in there with a glass of wine so I'm a little bit calmer, I see just actually how funny and how lucky we are to have each other and how grateful we all appreciate each other. And it, you know, Dawn, for me, Dawn is a miracle. Dawn, if nothing would have happened, none of this would have come to light if it wasn't for Dawn, and I'm thankful for her.
Dawn, again, tell me about your relationship with Beverly.
It's like a mother and daughter. Sometimes she call me Poopy-Loo. Yeah, we got along very, very good. It's like everything we're gonna do, we discuss it. And every time we go in the car, it's like I don't get a chance to say a word. You know, it's really a pleasure working with her. And I've been doing this like for over 30 years. And it's the first lady I happen to have that is so intelligent and with it.
What I feel, you have to be honest and a good person. Have good friends. You don't have to feel that, oh, I lost this guy and I have no more, no one else. But you enjoy people. If you want to talk to them, you have to know who you're talking to. That's important. And you have your close children around you and your grandchildren. Look at how I have Kathy here. It's a pleasure having her. I'm so grateful. Look, it gets lonely. You know, I think a lot of times when you hear someone that you were very friendly with, that they passed on. And I said, gee, it's going to happen to me. And I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think that maybe one day is going to come and I'll never wake up.
I'm not 90 yet. I hope to be one day.
Well, you will. Nothing to it. Nothing to it.
When you bear the Schottenstein name, there's a certain narrative that is attached. The Schottensteins are known as tough, even a combative family that built a retail empire. But when you consider Beverly's story alone, that's not her story. Her story is she's a nice lady who came from a hardworking and modest family. She wasn't attracted to fancy people and she wasn't a show-off. Her husband, Alvin, worked hard, was sharp but fair, and helped to build a tremendous business. And through that, Beverly became a wealthy woman. But she was no shark or dilettante, and she's not a fighter by nature or combative like the family she married into. And when it came to money, Beverly was not a sophisticated person. She relied on others, specifically her family. Now that's not surprising. Her husband's gone. Things get more challenging to do and the world changes, and you are challenged to learn new things. Of course, you rely on your children. And you would rely most on the children who are located physically closest to you. What can we learn from Beverly's story? Oh boy, I think this story is a bit of a Rorschach test in that people will see what they want to see in this tale. Here's my takeaway. First, it doesn't matter if you are extremely wealthy or a person of more modest means. You do not deserve to be abused or taken advantage of or to have something taken from you that is yours. To me, the amount of money someone has is immaterial to that principle. Moreover, Beverly illustrates that you are never too old, too weak, or too frail to stand up for yourself. And if you do so, coming from integrity and authenticity, you'll find allies to help you. Beverly didn't know all the financial ins and outs of her accounts, but what she did know on a gut level was what was happening to her was wrong, no matter how many times she was told otherwise by her grandsons. Beverly's story showed me that you do not have to accept the things that you are not okay with at any age. I'm Leslie Gold. Thanks for listening to A Life's Story. Hi, it's Leslie. As I create these episodes, I can't help but think of my own parents. They're gone now, and I wish I did this with them. I'd give just about anything to hear them tell their stories in their own voices again. And I thought, well, that's a service worth providing. So now you can get the full life story treatment for your loved one. We capture the life story of an important person in your life, say your parent or grandparent, and create a beautiful piece of audio storytelling that they will love and that you will treasure. You'll be proud to share it with your family, one day your kids and your grandkids. And the personal audio pieces include all the bells and whistles you hear in the podcast episodes. We do in-depth interviews, we score with music, use historical sound, we build a story arc, provide professional narration, and add additional voices. These pieces come out beautifully. And speaking from personal experience, one day you'll be really glad you have it. We are creating personal love stories too. So go to alifesstory.net for more information. alifesstory.net. You can book a call with us from the site and we can discuss who you have in mind for a personal project in a totally no pressure call. alifesstory.net.